In the grim darkness of the 41st millennium, mankind has claimed its birthright within the stars by seizing control of a million worlds for the glory of the Imperium. From the very sacred heart of Holy Terra to the farthest flung reaches of the Ghoul stars, we will find the indomitable spirit of humanity desperately clinging onto existence despite the ever-dying light of our galaxy. Though the Imperium holds dominion over a vast number of worlds, they are each isolated from one another by the unfathomable void of space. This means that sending aid or supplies to a struggling planet in a distant star system is often an insurmountable obstacle. Because of this, it is no wonder that many humans will prefer to cling together in huge communities, which will provide them with an apparent aura of safety against the dark. This mentality and this sentiment has only snowballed throughout the long millennia, resulting in some planets holding untold billions or even trillions of terrified souls, who would presume that no tragedy could befall them within such a mighty Ceramite cradle. These planets are known as hive worlds, and more so than any other, they form the beating heart of the Imperium of Man. Even with the sprawling and Byzantine bureaucracy of the Administratum, it is rather an impossible task to keep accurate census data on the populace of the Imperium. This has been made ever more challenging following the catastrophic manifestation of the Cicatrix Maledictum, which split the entire galaxy in half. However, we still retain some census datasets for hundreds of different hive worlds. The actual population numbers can vary wildly between different planets and individual cities. So, for example, the hive world of Meridian within the Aurelian subsector is home to around 32 billion Imperial citizens. Meanwhile, larger hive worlds such as Icar IV, found in the northern reaches of the realm of Ultramar, is said to hold a staggering population of over 500 billion. It is difficult to grasp the implications of these figures, especially with the knowledge that there are over 32,000 hive worlds situated across the galaxy. Each of those inhabitants is a human soul, contributing themselves to the betterment of the Imperium of Man. It is unfortunate, however, that their humble lives will be lorded over and directed by distant aristocrats and capricious nobles who care not for the sanctity of their lowly existence. With these figures in mind, let us explore how these hubs of humanity are actually formed. In the earliest days of mankind's past, when we first clawed our way onto the distant worlds of the galaxy, there was never an intention to produce a hive world, and their formation has been somewhat of a necessity brought about by our gargantuan population boom. Instead, habitable planets with thriving ecosystems would have been colonized and seeded by humanity, purely to spread our influence throughout the stars. These worlds would have initially been treated rather similarly to how Terra was handled in its ancient history, where the betterment of mankind was placed above the preservation and maintenance of the planet itself. As such, huge mines and industrial plants would have been constructed, all to dredge out the rich bounty of natural resources available to them, which would have been refined and utilized to produce whatever crude tools were needed to further grow the burgeoning colonies. Eventually, the needs of the growing society will become larger, which would necessitate the rapid expansion of the industrial production zones. Landscapes which used to comprise of lush grasslands and fields would soon be reduced to acrid deserts and wastelands, all made permanently barren by the endlessly gushing smog pouring out from the dense manufactorums. As the population begins to grow exponentially larger, the colonists will require their living spaces to be adapted, with hundreds of new expansive developments being planned for construction. And it is here that the hive cities begin to take form. The old village, first built for the early colonists, would be reformed to serve as the foundation for the newly erected HAB units and city blocks. The central structures will be built higher and higher, towering into the very clouds, with ever-present construction projects being formulated to swell the city to an ever more bloated and offensive size. A family may have owned a small apartment HAB with a pleasant view of the landscape before them, but in a few short years, the newly formed industrial and habitable quarters erected around them would have completely enclosed their home within a lightless and terrible urban chasm. But such is life on a hive world. You must expect the very landscape around you to continuously shift and change from newly planned districts, all of which have been ordained by the mysterious governors who, in all likelihood, would never step foot within the dark corners of their own hive. As with all things, it will become increasingly difficult to find pleasant and affordable areas to call home within the bloated cityscape. Families will be forced to find refuge within the older and more archaic regions of the hive, always to be found in the darkest depths, where the loyal agents of the planetary governor are not paid to patrol. In these forgotten regions, their denizens will seldom follow the rules of the Imperium, since they truly doubt that the light of the Emperor could ever reach them within the dank and fetid underbelly of their city. It is no wonder, then, that these areas quickly devolve from once vibrant hubs of high society to decrepit slums, ruled over by dozens of gangs who care for naught but their own survival and perfidious empowerment. Even for the gangs, however, sometimes life within the city becomes impossible. The constant fighting between these vicious groups and the truly dire conditions in which they rule over means that many will instead choose to flee the urban dens to find refuge within the wastes. As such, the regions which surround the towering hive city are always littered with shanty towns, slums, and favelas, in which millions of destitute humans will call their squalid shacks and huts home. Life in the outskirts is never easy for these families. The polluted smokes will billow out from the hive, only to coat the smaller settlements in a dense layer of occlusive soot. Similarly, the industrial runoff from the factories and sewer systems are often simply released into the surrounding wilderness, with little to no treatment having been performed. As a result of this, diseases are truly rife within the shanty slums, and yet the families are forced to endure these horrific conditions, for there is simply nowhere else for them to go. We shall now explore some more of the features of a fully formed hive city, despite the fact that this statement is rather paradoxical, since the hives are ever growing and ever expanding. I had previously mentioned the prevalence of gangs and the generally impoverished standard of living for many. However, for the planet's rulers, this is simply an acceptable occurrence and one which should be expected for those who choose to live in a hub of humanity. This is because the actual industrial output of the entire hive world is already simply staggering. The billions of humans who reside here, despite their squalid conditions, will produce a truly incomprehensible volume of goods and resources to be shipped off across the galaxy. As an important note, the items produced upon a hive world cannot hold a candle to the artisanal level of production found upon a Mechanicus forge world. A simple human laboring his days within a hive factory will never in his life produce one object which compares to the mechanical majesty of that which a Martian tech priest has crafted. Also to mention is the fact that the goods which are manufactured on a hive world are always rather generic, since the advanced and rather exotic STC templates are all owned by the Adeptus Mechanicus, who would give their own lives before divulging the secrets of the machine to even their imperial allies. Across a hive world, it is not uncommon for there to be multiple cities dotted near to important strategic regions which contain huge troves of natural resources. To look upon one of these planets from space would be to see enormous swathes of industrial wasteland and barren landscapes, broken up only by the towering behemoths of humanity, each of which contain untold billions of imperial souls. For some of the largest of hive worlds, however, the administratum will eventually run out of land to expand into, and the entire planet will end up being utterly enveloped by new cityscapes and industrial regions. Terra, for example, stands as an ecumenopolis, with no portion of its ancient land being left exposed, instead having been used as the foundations to a new and immense star-scraping construction. In many cases, this results in a truly dystopian and horrific life for those born on a hive world. Our colleges and districts have been piled and stacked on top of each other, producing layer after layer of dense urban hell, with many of its citizens having never even seen their sun, as there are simply vast cities built on top of their old and forgotten homes. It is difficult to grasp the scale of a hive world without having stepped foot upon one. And in truth, it sounds to be an unenviable existence to those of us who have breathed fresh, unfiltered air. To stand amidst a busy street, one would see hab blocks soaring above them, ending only where they connect to the foundations of the higher-up arcologies. Servo skulls, drones, and small flyers will constantly dart and race through the open regions, all carrying vital bureaucratic records which are to be added onto the ongoing backlogs, already several years behind schedule. The call of street vendors will punctuate the noise of the crowds, each of whom will be selling locally produced or salvaged materials to decorate your humble home with. Some may be peddling curious and exotic goods, but it is likely best to avoid that which you are not informed of, for who knows what secrets may be lurking in their shimmering artifacts. As one can imagine, with these sprawling populations, the food requirements for a city must be immense. This would be a correct assumption. It is incredibly rare, and seldom found, in fact, for a hive world to be self-sufficient. The levels of pollution make it near impossible for food to be reliably grown to a large enough scale, and so a constant stream of imports from nearby agri-worlds is utterly necessary for the hive's survival. Nevertheless, there can be some supplementation found from the production and consumption of corpse starch. When a human dies, their families are given little time to mourn, as the nutritional potential of a body will rapidly degrade if it is left to decompose. Corpse collectors will transport the dead into vast grinder plants the size of an entire city sector, where the bodies will be broken down, reduced, and refined into a palatable food source, which the whole family can enjoy together. There are some dark rumors within the slums that when there are supply shortages within a hive city, that the Corpse Guild members will delve into the deeper reaches of the underhive to claim those who still live. Those stolen souls will be thrown into the corpse grinders while still alive, but their screams cannot possibly breach the ever-roaring churning of that infernal machine. Now, this is obviously a rather insidious claim. However, we must acknowledge that food shortages and supply problems are a constant malady throughout the Imperium. If a warp storm were to separate a hive world for but a single month, then the cessation of nutritional imports would be utterly catastrophic for the population. These events have been known to cause huge riots to break out across the entire hive, all from desperate civilians who simply need but a scrap of bread to feed their starving child. This cataclysmic possibility is not worth considering, however, and instead, we should look deeper into the citizens who call these hive cities home. All of the resources mined from the world, all of the industrial output, and all of the wealth generated is nothing compared to the value of the humans who live and work within them. Almost every job and task within the Imperium is one which will require the guiding hand of a human to enact. And so the High Lords of Terra will look upon a hive world as nothing but a source of 1 billion readily available workers who can be shipped off to any corner of the galaxy, all for the good of their bloated celestial empire. Life within a hive world is not easy, and with the high levels of gang violence and generally unfavorable surroundings, it is no wonder that many who grow up here will become rather tough and unrelenting when faced with danger. As such, the majority of recruits within the Imperial Guard will be sourced from the various hive cities found throughout the Imperium. Many will already be proficient in handling several weapon types, and their hardened upbringing will have made them perfect candidates for surviving the harsh and inhospitable battlefields of the galaxy. Some will leave willingly, having sought to join the Guard since they were children. However, others will be forcibly taken, with their lives acting as currency to the planetary governor. For you see, if a hive world requires a huge volume of imported goods to survive, then it must provide something else back to the rest of the Imperium, and more often than not, it will be manpower. Occasionally, young men and women who do not wish to leave their homes will be forced into fleeing to the underhive depths to join in with the various gangs, simply as a method of escaping their ordained military service. The population of a hive world will continuously grow to ever more bloated heights. But because of this, we will find all manner of strange and curious humans within the depths of the city. If 1 billion children are born in a year, then it is inescapable that some will be mutants. And so the Imperium must determine whether or not they have any value to give back to humanity. Some will be psykers, bristling with untapped and untamed energy, and these gifted individuals will be shipped off to the various temples of the Astra Telepathica to be trained as sanctioned psykers or as enigmatic astropaths. This is only a fate to be reserved for the most innately skilled of psychic individuals, however. For those who simply retain a small degree of latent psychic energy, then they may be taken by the dreaded black ships of the Inquisition, where they will be shipped off to Holy Terra, only for their very souls to be stolen and sacrificed in order to keep the Astronomicon beaming through the inky depths of space. Other than psykers, it is not uncommon for various mutants to be born within the birthing centers of a hive world. Sometimes the mutations can be completely hidden from all of society. However, for those who have formed a third eye, or a babbling mouth which spews forth the thoughts of any who look upon it, then they cannot be allowed to live within a hive society. These abominations will be silently and rapidly removed from the city by unseen agents of the Inquisition, who will suffer not the possibility of a dreaded mutant invading the sanctity of an imperial world. As can be expected from cities as large as these, a distinct societal hierarchy almost inevitably exists. It is rather sad, but if you are born upon a hive world, then your entire life is almost assuredly locked in place. You will already have your future job lined up for you, and you will be given a set number of years to work until you are no longer needed, at which point the hive will simply forget about your existence. At the symbolic and literal top of this hierarchy would be the ruling class of lords and nobles, who reside within the tallest of spires and palaces, overlooking the entirety of the hive. The nobility will be the only residents of a city who can reliably see the outside air, and even though it is utterly contaminated by industrial pollutants, it is still an ever-desired luxury to them. These imperial aristocrats have little work to do for themselves, other than to ensure that the rest of the planet is engaging in hard labors. For you see, the only real task of the planetary governor is to pay the imperial tithe. This is a form of taxation paid to the administratum by every world within the Imperium, and it consists of both resources and manpower, all of which will be disseminated across the galaxy to whichever planets require it. If a governor cannot pay this sum when the Imperial ships descend for collection, then he will be executed on the spot, and a new ruler will be appointed to gather the owed resources. With that being said, however, as long as the governor can pay the tithe, then the imperial lords care not for how he rules over this world. They could rule as an utter despot, making life as difficult as possible for any and all who call the hives home, and unfortunately, this often seems to be the case. Beneath the opulent nobles would be the sprawling bureaucratic middle class. Given the stringent requirements and dire circumstances related to the tithe, it is unsurprising that there will be millions of individuals whose sole job is based around recording production quotas and population levels. These workers will live deeper within the cities, likely not being able to see the light of their own star system from their homes, but they will generally dwell within favorable conditions. Life for these workers is rather droll, and it is unlikely that they will ever amount to anything, but should they desire some excitement, then they could always delve into the underhive and pass some time with a paid companion, along with a full bottle of Amasek. With such dense populations and such sprawling requirements for labor, a vast working class will be forced into existence, and these souls will be relegated to the lower depths of the hive, where they will have to settle in whatever crumbling slum they can find. These citizens are almost entirely forgotten within their homes, and it is not uncommon for the ancient infrastructure around them to simply buckle and break, leading to the destruction of their humble dwellings. It is no wonder, then, that most of the individuals who are recruited into the gangs come from this lower class, since it is seen as perhaps the only possibility of escaping their wretched existence of working within the deep mines. This brings us onto the inescapable problem of gangs within the hive cities. Every single urban conglomeration of humanity is plagued by some form of crime, but within the bustling hives, it tends to extend beyond petty misdemeanors into the realm of well-organized mobs, whose power can oftentimes rival that of the city's own defensive forces. Most Adeptus Arbites members wouldn't dare to venture into the wild and abandoned regions of the underhive, since the gangs simply pose too great of a threat to them. Because of this, if a gang is strong enough and led by a charismatic enough leader, then they will be able to keep a fairly secure stranglehold over their territories. Most often, their problems will emerge from rival gangs seeking to encroach upon their slums, sparking huge battles which can utterly ravage areas of the hive, making them into no man's lands of abandoned urban ghost blocks. Aside from outside threats, a gang leader must always keep a close eye upon his own soldiers, lest their ambitions get the better of them. Any who suspects their slumlord of becoming weak or placid in the face of confrontation may believe themselves to be a far better fit for ruling over these territories, and so it is not unheard of for assassinations to be regularly committed against whoever finds themselves in the captain's chair. Due to the level of power and control which a gang can muster, some planetary governors will find it more beneficial to bring them into the fold of partial legitimacy, purely so that they can leverage their strengths to suit their own means. In these scenarios, a noble may send an envoy to the gang leader, informing them that the planetary defense forces will not quarrel or object to any criminal activities, so long as the gang periodically assists them in maintaining some slight semblance of order in certain parts of the hive. In this sense, these legitimized gangs may be seen as a quasi-police force for the abandoned slums. However, this is a rather optimistic way of imagining their actions. In truth, the gang will likely end up caring for naught, but the fact that the governor has essentially given them free rein to commit whatever atrocities they desire. And the only people who will suffer from this will be the downtrodden and castaway members of society. Perhaps the most infamous of gangs from the vast stretches of the galaxy would be those of the hive world Necromunda. Many would look upon this world and see nothing but lawless chaos, with huge swathes of the hive cities being utterly lost and abandoned to the rule of the Imperium, favored instead by the iron fists of a dozen hardened gangs. In some sense, this is true. However, the current situation on Necromunda is actually rather carefully balanced. The noble houses upon this world are most effective and most productive when they find themselves engaged in constant proxy wars and battles with one another, and this is where the inter-gang warfare comes into play. The houses will employ gangs to fight on their behalf, resulting in an ever-shifting landscape of territories and hab blocks being conquered and lost, all so that the upper echelons of society can be satisfied with their odd form of feudal rule. Despite the presence of these organized groups, as well as from the defensive forces of the hive cities themselves, there are still some areas deep within the city which will go unnoticed. And in these dark corners, many a terrible flower will begin to blossom. With millions of humans living neglected and forgotten lives, it is of no wonder that cults towards the ruinous powers will so often emerge within the urban recesses, only to ensnare new members to join in their terrible cause. Chaotic preachers or demonic vessels may whisper foul words to those lost souls in these decrepit communities, urging them to enact blasphemous rituals towards the dark gods, all to bring forth otherworldly incursions which could spell the death of the billions of humble citizens peacefully living around them. Thankfully, however, these heretical sources are often located by the all-seeing panopticon of the Inquisition, and they will show no mercy to any who are even suspected of harboring the treacherous taint of chaotic influence. Similarly, Imperial agents must be constantly vigilant against the possibility of a gene-stealer cult emerging on a hive world. All it would take would be a single tyrannid to slink away into an unknown den, where they will begin the process of infecting and indoctrinating the isolated members of society, all to produce new servile hybrids who will be forced to follow in their foul directives. A cult can grow for decades without being detected, and it is not unheard of for even the planetary governors themselves to be replaced with puppets to the patriarch. If a cult is successful in their operation, then they will be sure to bring about the downfall of a hive world. A tyrannid splinter fleet will be lured towards the psychic song of the gene stealer, and they will gleefully fall upon the hive, rabidly seeking to devour the bountiful source of biomass to be picked from the metallic bones of the cityscape. For those who live upon a hive world, life is a constant struggle. Its citizens are forced to work in predetermined jobs until their inevitable death, with their only chance of escape involving their forced conscription into the regiments of the Imperial Guard. Even during their day-to-day passings, they must watch out for the ever-present threat of gang activity, heretical worship, or Xenos incursions. Should a hive-dwelling citizen look at an Arbeit's enforcer the wrong way, then they will be forcibly removed from society, likely to never be seen again by their families. All the while, the lording governors and nobles residing high above in their spires will be feasting upon the most luxurious of goods from around the galaxy, paying no heed to the utterly dire events occurring in the cities beneath them. Nevertheless, These worlds still act as the beating heart of the Imperium, and the constant struggle and toil of its denizens are a significant driving force behind the true strength of all mankind. It is an unfortunate truth that the Imperium simply cannot provide care for all of its citizens, and so for those who dwell within the depths of a hive world, they are left to simply endure, with only their faith in the God Emperor providing them with some meager sentiment of hope.